I'm John Baxter, Barry Strauss, Professor Barry Strauss of Cornell University. His new book is The War That Made the Roman Empire. It is now the summer of 31 BCE. The whole world is listening for what's about to happen next. The battle fleets, the vast Ptolemaic battle fleet purchased by Cleopatra's money, is at harbor, hundreds of ships at harbor with merchant ships back and forth feeding the army, whereas the smaller Roman fleet is north of Actium on the coastline without easy access. But Octavian and Agrippa have fought sea battles before. Professor, what is a five? What is a six? What kind of ships are those?
So these are galleys. They are oared ships. A five there's some doubt as to how they were made up, but I think according to the most likely reconstruction, in a five, you'd have five men to a room. Imagine two levels of oars. There are three men rowing on the top level and two men rowing on the bottom level. So that would be how a five would go. A six might have three and three. A four and a five are about the most efficient kinds of warships to use in this period. They have the right amount of power weight. And these ships would go into battle. They would partly, one tactic is to ram the enemy, but as they go attacking the enemy, they first shoot off arrows, they shoot off bolts. Some of these ships can actually have catapults on them. Sometimes they will launch harpoons that will attach them to the enemy ships. There are a variety of ways of fighting. They're both missiles and fighting platforms.
Octavian has the high ground to the north of the entrance to the bay.
Yes.
And Antony and Cleopatra have the south, where there is malarial swamps. This is the summer of 31. At some point, it becomes to Antony that he cannot bring Octavian to battle on the land. Octavian continues to decline battle. And therefore, Antony and Cleopatra have a war council. What do they decide, Professor?
They decide that they have no choice but to leave Actium. They are having ever greater difficulty supplying their troops because Agrippa's raiders are cutting off all supplies coming into Actium, or cutting off most supplies coming into Actium. They need to flee. They have two choices. They can either flee by land or flee by sea. And they decide that it is too risky to go by land. Land travel is always harder in the ancient world than sea travel. They decide that what they want to do is to break out, to fight a breakout battle, and to escape by sea.
With the treasury.
With the treasury. So the ace that they've got is they've got, the lion's share of Cleopatra's treasury from Egypt is with them. And Octavian would dearly like to get his hands on this because he's short of money. The enemy has the money.
What is striking about your presentation, Barry, is that I always assumed that Octavian, representing the Roman Empire, had the bigger fleet, the bigger army. That is not the case. The odds at the time would have favored Antony and Cleopatra, except for this moment, they make a decision that is practical. Their supplies have been cut, and Octavian's having a war council as well. What do they decide?
Yeah. So Octavian, at first, surprisingly to me, decides that he thinks they should just let the enemy escape, and then they can polish them off. The army will be left. The enemy will lose his army, let the ships escape. They'll polish them off in the east. They'll follow them back to the east. But it's Agrippa who says to him, boss, that's a terrible idea. We should fight a naval battle. We don't really have much to be afraid of at this point. I really think we'll win the battle, we'll do the maximum damage to the enemy fleet. It's really interesting to me that in spite of everything, in spite of Methone, in spite of the cutting of the enemy supplies, there's still some doubt on the part of Octavian and his camp as to who would win a naval battle at Actium.
It is the morning of September 2nd, 31 BC.
Yeah.
The dawn is, Barry gives us a precise date. It's a little after 6 a.m. On the western coast of Greece.
Yeah.
The Antony gives a final speech to his captains. We're going to go out and we're going to defeat the enemy. It's not true. Yeah. He's going to let Cleopatra run. She has a plan to break through as soon as she sees an opening in the enemy line. The fleets line up against each other. And Barry, this is about as dramatic as it gets. They wait and they wait and they wait.
Yeah. Agrippa knows that if he allows Antony and Cleopatra to charge his ships and ram them, they could actually do serious damage. There is a small chance they could actually win this battle. So Agrippa's waiting about a mile away at sea. But Antony and Cleopatra are waiting as well for an entirely different reason. They're waiting for the wind to turn, as it does every afternoon or most afternoons, and the wind will start blowing from the northwest. They need that wind behind them in order to race away from Actium, because they plan not to row from Actium, but to sail from Actium. And warships don't normally carry their sails in battle, but Antony and Cleopatra's ships do have their sails to go out into battle. And when the wind changes, they will raise their sails, unfurl their sails, and race off to the south.
Octavian and Agrippa probably have up to 400 ships of all kinds, little ones, big ones. Antony and Cleopatra, according to the professor's reporting, is about 230. That includes Cleopatra's squadron. At some point, the Octavian-Agrippa line opens, and here comes the purple sail. Barry, this seems so dramatic, so Hollywood. It's hard to trust, Barry.
Well, you know, often with history, we don't know what to trust, but I can just only say history includes some incredible facts, things that are hard to believe, and yet they happened. Cleopatra's in her flagship, and she's the queen, so it's flying a purple sail. And at this crucial moment in the battle, she sails out with a purple sail on a ship that has gilded trimmings on it. And she's sailing out. And I think the Romans are just stunned. They didn't expect this. They didn't think it was possible. But there she goes, leading her 60 ships. And they go through a gap and they are heading out of the battle to escape.
And Antony will follow in a smaller ship to catch up to the Antonia. Get it? That's the flagship.
Yes.
The fleet at this point, he's abandoning his fleet. He's abandoning his army. What was his thinking?
He's thinking, you know, save yourself to fight for another day. But he must also be thinking that as a Roman, this is a no-no. This is a major no-no. Abandoning his men, leaving the army like this, this is a terrible blow for his Roman pride, for the protocols of Roman manhood, for what a Roman leader should do. This is not supposed to happen, but he goes anyhow.
Yes, and they break out. They've got their sails up. It will take some time for the fleet, the Octavian fleet, to follow them. So it's going to be a success. However, the surprise to me also, surprise after surprise, Barry, is that the fleet doesn't surrender. His fleet, Antony's fleet, doesn't surrender. They fight on. Is that because they're told to give us time to run away? Did they make this decision on their own?
I doubt it. I think some of them don't even know that Antony's left. I think a lot of them don't know that Antony's left. They think the battle is going on. They still have a hope to defeat the enemy. They must, or they wouldn't keep continuing to fight.
And then later in the afternoon, again, extremely melodramatic, fire breaks out.
Yes. Octavian and Agrippa's ships start shooting fire arrows at the enemy ships that will destroy them, send them to the bottom, kill large numbers of men. It tells us that Antony's men were still fighting.
Right.
Octavian needed to do this to defeat them.
All right. The lovers have escaped. It's 31 B.C. When we come back, the end of both. Barry Strauss is the author of The War That Made the Roman Empire, Antony, Cleopatra, and Octavian at Actium. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor